invite your attention this morning to Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I don't know anyone who likes to be condemned for anything. I remember when our children were small, and we would ask them about something that was done, obviously by one of the children. Most of the time we knew who beforehand. But when you began to question them, not me. So we decided that not me did it. No one likes to take responsibility for something they did that was wrong. We don't like to be condemned. In this context, Paul says there is a group of people, a particular group of people that are not under condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. And so there it is possible to be in a place or to be in a group of people where there is no condemnation. Our study this morning is going to examine this concept and see if we can determine where that place is, how to get to that place, and what the conditions are for staying in that place where there is no condemnation. So I want us to just analyze this passage in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, and do our best to ascertain or to determine what Paul's message is for us. First of all, when we think about this idea of no condemnation, we want to look at this as a promise. The promise that's made in this text: no condemnation. Obviously, many are going to be condemned. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 13, "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Many going to destruction. "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Many are going to go to destruction. Few are going to life. In verse 23 of that same chapter, Jesus said, "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." The word iniquity simply means lawlessness or lawbreakers. Common vernacular would be an outlaw. "Ye workers of iniquity." These were people who would not submit to the law of God. We talked about that in our Bible class this morning. Those who claim to fear God, but who would not follow his precepts. Same thing is true today. And as a result, many will be condemned. Well, someone asked the question then, what's involved in this idea of condemnation? What does that mean, to be condemned? Well, we know in the court of law today, when an individual is tried for a particular crime, and they are found guilty, then they are condemned. Sentences passed upon them. They're condemned maybe to 10, 15, 20 years in prison, maybe even death because of a capital crime. That's condemnation. In this particular instance, this condemnation we're talking about here involves being separated from God. In the physical condemnation we just described, individuals are separated from their family. They're separated from society, locked in a cell. So there's separation. In Luke chapter 16, there's verse 26, as this separation is being described there between the rich man and Lazarus, the text says, and besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. There's a great separation of the good and the evil. Abraham said, now Lazarus received his good things, and the rich man received evil things. While you was alive, he said, the rich man, you had good things, and Lazarus evil things. Now it's reversed. And you can't come and you can't be a partaker of the good things now that Lazarus is a partaker of. There's a great gulf fixed. And so it's described as separation from God, from a place of comfort. As the text there describes Lazarus with Abraham's bosom, it depicts a place of comfort. This also is described as everlasting punishment, Matthew 25, verse 46. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. The things he's talking about there are those to whom he said, I was hungry and you gave me no meat, thirsty you gave me no drink, and you clothed me not, sick in prison you visited me not. And they're going to ask the Lord, well, when do we see you like this? He said, inasmuch as you did it not unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it not unto me. That's the these that shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Everlasting punishment. There's never going to be a pardon for those who are thus condemned in eternity. In our modern civil system, it is possible for a criminal to receive a pardon, to pay a reprieve. He don't have to serve the time that he was condemned to serve. In this situation, there is no pardon. This is everlasting punishment. It is for eternity. So there's great joy when we would hear him say, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Matthew 25:21. His master said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. In this context, he's describing what we call the parable of the talents. The one who had used his talent in the manner that he should have used it, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. This would be a joyous occasion to hear him say, well done, enter in. But the opposite is a terrible thing. Eternal condemnation forever and ever. But Paul promises no condemnation. Where is that place where there is no condemnation? That place is in Christ Jesus. It is in His body, the church. Colossians 1 verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Then you drop on down to verse 24 in the same chapter. Who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church. That place where there is no condemnation is in the church of Jesus Christ, the one that He promised to build. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against it. That is, the death that Jesus died could not prevent His church being established. Could not keep us from being a part of His body, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So how we get into this place, this state where there is no condemnation? Romans 10 verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to respond to the hearing of God's word by believing in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And Jesus Himself said in Mark 16 and verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It takes faith in Jesus Christ. It takes repentance. We have to be sorry for our sins, turning from our old way of life. Luke 13 and verse 3, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We're talking about the state where there is no condemnation, getting into the body of Christ. Acts 2 verse 38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day that were added to them about 3,000 souls. Verse 47 says, praise to God, and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. Those that saved added to the church. Well, we understand that one must be willing to confess Jesus Christ, because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, there, verse 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will also confess before my Father which is in heaven. In Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, for with the heart man believeth in righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But they're not saved yet. Peter said, repent and be baptized. Studied with a young couple in Washington. This young lady was an English teacher, fluent in Spanish and English, good grammarian. And we were looking at this passage. He that believeth and is baptized, repent and be baptized. And I said, if my grammar is correct, the word and is a coordinating conjunction that connects words and phrases of equal rank. And I saw the light turn on. You see the recognition in her eyes. She understood that it took faith and baptism. It took repentance and baptism. You have to have baptism in order to be a part of the kingdom of God. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, Paul says, "For as many as you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." You're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. It takes faith. But it takes being baptized into Christ, putting on Christ. Romans 6, 3 and 4. "Therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ is raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." And he goes on to talk about the idea of a planting. "We've been planted together with him in the likeness of his death. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." Raised to walk a new life. We're now a part of the family of God, as we noted in Acts 2, verse 47. The Lord adds an individual to his church. You're now in that state where there is no condemnation. In this state of no condemnation, there are blessings that we receive. Verse 9 of the text says we receive a new spirit. Romans chapter 8, there at verse 9. "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his." In Christ, when you obey the gospel of Christ, when you're baptized for the remission of your sin, the Lord adds you to his church, you're in the state where there is tremendous blessings. We have a new spirit. We have new life. We have now spiritual life. And that is the state where there is no condemnation. That is the great spiritual blessings that we enjoy in Christ Jesus. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." There is a qualification here, you see. "Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." This is a continuing operation. Walking, a daily walk with the Lord. That has to take place for you to remain in this place where there is no condemnation. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there verse 22, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ we are all made alive." We have new life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, there verse 14, he said, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." You understand the idea of triumph? This victory. We're victorious in Christ. As we noted earlier, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, we are new creatures. "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." That's the way we are in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You're not the same person you were. Obviously, we all look the same. From a physical standpoint, our appearance doesn't change. But the inside of us changes. We are new creatures. We are now partakers of this promise. As Paul will say in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Paul would say in Romans 1, verse 16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Verse 17, he says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It's written, the just by faith shall live." We understand this need for obedience to the gospel of Christ. And when we obey the gospel of Christ, we are made partakers of these divine promises. Partakers of his promised in Christ, accomplished by the gospel. We're now in that state. We're in Christ Jesus. We're in His body, the church. Do you remember when Jesus promised in Matthew 16 He would build His church? In that same context, He said to Peter, I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, the church, the body, all these are terms that are synonymous. Don't all mean the same thing, but they all refer to the same people, the same group, the same state. When are those who are under no condemnation? Surely we need to recognize and we need to rejoice because we have been transported into this state. We have turned from darkness to light. From the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God's dear Son. There are exceeding great and precious promises. We've enumerated a few. In Christ Jesus, where we have these blessings. Here's the rub. There are conditions for staying in this state. I've been doing some work on a lesson that Brother Bruce wanted to hear on Calvinism. And one of the tenets of Calvinism is commonly referred to as once saved, always saved. Perseverance of the saints, they say. That's not true. We are children of God. When we are added to the family of God, we obey the gospel. That's the new birth, John 3, verse 3 and 5. We're born into His family. And we're always going to be His child. But just because I became His child one time is no guarantee that I'm always going to be in His good graces. I may become an erring child of God. Let's look at the text now. Romans chapter 8. Notice verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We have to pay attention to the things of the Spirit. We do not walk after the flesh. Notice verse 1 again. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Not this, but this. Not walking after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They that are after the flesh, Paul said, mind the things of the flesh. And Paul enumerates these, pretty good list of them, Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through verse 25. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Just in case you missed something. And such like. Of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you pay attention to the works of the flesh, even though you at one time may have obeyed the gospel, you've been born in the family of God, if you go back and you begin to pay attention to the works of the flesh, you follow after them, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the eternal kingdom. You're not going to be a part of it. He's not going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It is thine the joy of thy Lord. He's going to say, depart from me, cursed, in everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Conditions for staying, not walking after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They that are after the Spirit do mind the things, that is, they pay attention to the things of the Spirit. We noted there in verse 5. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. It is important what we pay attention to. Visiting with a very close friend yesterday who just became grandparents. Brother Sister Louis Dearman preaches in Boonville. He sent me a picture of Charlotte holding the baby and he's sitting close beside them. They're paying attention. Believe you me, they're paying attention to that baby. Their attention is focused. I sent him a text back. I said, you think you're going to be able to preach this morning? We had a pretty good exchange over it. We understand the idea of paying attention. My daddy used to say, boy, you better pay attention to me. I knew exactly what he meant. And I'm sure you do too. I had to mind the things he said. We say to our children, you better mind me. Paying attention to the right things is vitally important. Because it has eternal implications. It will decide where you spend eternity. Whether you are in this state where there's no condemnation, where he's going to say, enter thine the joy of thy Lord, or whether you're in the state where he's going to say, depart from ye cursed in everlasting darkness, everlasting punishment. As Paul goes on there in Galatians, the 5th chapter, he enumerates the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. None of these are bad. None of these will cause you to be condemned. The list he just enumerated back in verses 19 through about verse 21 are bad. They'll cause you to be condemned. But these will not cause you to be condemned. There's no law against them. They're all good. In verse 24 of that text, he said, those who belong to Christ crucify the flesh. They that are Christ, that is, those who belong to Christ, those who have been transported or brought into this state where there's no condemnation, that's the ones who belong to Christ. Those that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection and lust. There's the hard part. The flesh. Getting a handle on the desires of the flesh. That's the hardest thing you'll ever do. And you can't conquer it by yourself. You have to be spiritually minded. You have to be minding the Spirit in order to get rid of the things of the flesh. put them to death. What will put them to death? The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. It's the only thing that will put them to death. You can't kill them any other way. He takes the Word of God. That's why Paul told Timothy, give diligence to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It takes spending time with God's word. As Paul continues there in verse 25 of that text, he said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Remember we said earlier, this is a continuing process. It's not something you do one time, and that's it. That's what Calvinism teaches. Once you get it, you can't lose it. Doesn't matter what you do. Fornication to murder, don't matter. You got it. You can't lose it. That's not so. Living in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. A continuing effort. Daily. Day after day after day after day after day. It never ends as long as we're in this life. We have to continue to walk after the Spirit. And I'm so very thankful that when we leave this life, we will continue that walk. We will be with our Savior. We'll be with our God forever and ever and ever, praising Him, rejoicing around that great white throne, because we are His. Because we have been brought into this state where there is no condemnation. And when we leave this life, we're ushered into that great place we call heaven, to be there forever and ever with our God. No condemnation. Conditions for staying in this state. They're rigorous. It's not easy, but it can be done with God's help. With the Word of God, it can be done. Paul restates this promise in verses 13 and 14. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you live after the flesh, you're going to die. That's condemnation. Eternal death. In a devil's hell forever and ever. But if through the Spirit, and remember, it was the Spirit that revealed this word, as Jesus promised His disciples in John the 16th chapter. He would send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and He would guide them into all truth. He wouldn't speak to Himself. Whatever He heard, that's what He would speak. He would show them things to come. And Jesus promised they would receive power from on high. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, they did that on the day of Pentecost. And they publicly proclaimed the saving power of the gospel of Christ. They preached Jesus Christ crucified. When these people heard this, they were cut to the heart. Cried out, many brethren, what should we do? Peter said, repent. That's crucifying the flesh. Getting rid of the deeds of the flesh. Mortifying, putting to death the deeds of the flesh. We do this through the Spirit. Can't do it on our own. We do it through the Spirit. That's the revealed Word of God. The truth of God's Word. Jesus used the Word to defeat Satan. Matthew, the 4th chapter. He replied in each instance, "It is written." If we're going to get rid of the deeds of the flesh, we've got to be able to apply the revealed will of God. We've got to be able to say, "It is written." If we're led by the Spirit of God, then we are the sons of God. We are in Christ, where there is now no condemnation. If we're led by the Spirit of God. And here's a big question. Have you entered this state where there is no condemnation? That's a question every individual who has the ability to think and the reason and understand must answer. Have I entered this state? And we enumerated the conditions for entering. Faith in Jesus Christ. Repentance of our sin. Confessing Him publicly as our Lord and Master. As the Son of God. And being immersed in water for the remission of our sin. Then the Lord adds us to His church. We enter this state. Not on our own. God transports us. Translates us. Out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Because we rendered obedience to His will. You have to answer the question, have I done this? But there's another question. If in the past you have done this, are you now staying in this state where there's no condemnation? By walking after the flesh, after the Spirit, and not after the flesh. I almost got that backward like the world does. You have to stay in the state by not walking after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. So each of us has to answer that question for ourselves. Am I walking after the Spirit or am I walking after the flesh? It's not a hard question to answer. It's hard to put it into practice. But it's not hard to look down in our deep recesses of our mind and see if I'm really walking after the Spirit. If I'm walking after the desires and dictates of the flesh. If so, I'm not going to inherit the kingdom of God. The only way I can inherit the kingdom of God is to be in this state where there's no condemnation and to remain there by walking after the Spirit. So, are you walking after the flesh? Are you walking after the Spirit? It's your choice. You can choose today to render obedience to the gospel of Christ if you have not yet done so. Baptist is filled. Water's warmed. Nothing to keep a person from obeying the gospel except your own will. If you have obeyed the gospel and you realize you haven't been living after the flesh, you can make the necessary corrections. If you do like Simon the sorcerer was told to do, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God that perhaps the thought of thine heart might be forgiven. You can do that today. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we'll be back as we stand and sing for your encouragement.